From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns has arrived at chapter 12. In the usual treatment of Romans, the first 11 chapters are regarded as doctrinal, whereas chapters 12 through 16 are considered to be practical. However, as Dr. Cairns will emphasize strongly, the believer's practice must be governed by what he believes about the gospel. Behavior and treatment of brethren who differ on non-essential matters must be directed by the doctrines that are at the heart of the gospel. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, The Believer's Response to the Gospel, A Life of Self-Sacrifice and Service. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 1 and verse 30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Very interesting is this little peep into the house of the apostolic fisherman. We see at once that household joys and cares are no hindrance to the full exercise of ministry, nay, that since they furnish an opportunity for personally witnessing the Lord's gracious work upon one's own flesh and blood, they may even instruct the teacher better than any other earthly discipline. Papists and other sectaries may decry marriage, but true Christianity and household life agree well together. Peter's house was probably a poor fisherman's hut, but the Lord of glory entered it, lodged in it, and wrought a miracle in it. Should these words be heard this morning in some very humble cottage, let this fact encourage the inmates to seek the company of King Jesus. God is oftener in little huts than in rich palaces. Jesus is looking round your room now, and is waiting to be gracious to you. Into Simon's house sickness had entered. Fever in a deadly form had prostrated his mother-in-law. And as soon as Jesus came, they told him of the sad affliction, and he hastened to the patient's bed. Have you any sickness in the house this morning? You will find Jesus by far the best physician. Go to him at once and tell him all about the matter. Immediately lay the case before him. It concerns one of his people, and therefore will not be trivial to him. Observe that at once the Savior restored the sick woman. None can heal as he does. We may not make sure that the Lord will at once remove all disease from those we love, but we may know that believing prayer for the sick is far more likely to be followed by restoration than anything else in the world. And where this avails not, we must meekly bow to His will, by whom life and death are determined. The tender heart of Jesus waits to hear our griefs. Let us pour them into His patient ear.
He cares for you.
Cares for you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Tonight we continue the studies in the book of Romans, and we will read in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we commence reading at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Chapter 12 starts the final great section of Paul's epistle to the Romans. I know that we have now reached a place in this epistle that many skeptics, mockers, unbelievers in this congregation never thought we would ever arrive at. That's Tim Gardner, not Tim Farr. He would have been even worse. But Tim Gardner's estimation of 25 years to get through the book has been a little off. And we are now in the final section. I have to confess that to get here, we have had to increase the rapidity of getting through the sections a lot more than we did at the beginning. But nonetheless, here we are. Romans 12 through 16, the final great section of the epistle. When you read most analyses of this book, you will find that the first 11 chapters are looked upon as doctrinal, or as you Americans have all been brainwashed to say wrongly, doctrinal. But one way or the other, that's the part that deals with doctrine. And chapter 12 through 16, well, that's the practical part of the epistle. Never very happy with that kind of an analysis, especially of a Pauline epistle. For it doesn't pay much attention to the internal material along the way. It's a very handy way of dividing the epistle, but it's something of a misnomer to call this the practical part. You'd have to ask yourself, were the first 11 chapters not practical? Is theology not practical? Is the doctrine of justification not practical? Well, if you've followed us at all, over the past weeks, months, and I have to confess even years, you will know that the doctrine is supremely practical. And any practice that is not the outflow of that doctrine is most likely to be a practice of superstition and prejudice. So the first 11 chapters are intensely practical. And certainly, I'm not going to do it for time's sake tonight, but you could turn to many, many passages that are intensely practical in dealing with matters that intimately involve the most important ethical and moral and spiritual aspects of a Christian's life and behavior in this world. Furthermore, when you get into this last section, among all the practicalities, there are some statements of theological depth that are so great that they will baffle even the greatest commentator. And so that Paul has this wonderful way in dealing with doctrine to throw in what we call practical exhortations or applications. And when he's dealing with application, he has this way of just throwing in some great theological statement that in itself would deserve weeks or even months of consideration. And if you think that is something of an overstatement, I would invite you to, not now, but I would invite you to look at the final few verses of this book of Romans. And if you do not see there enough to engage your mind and that of the greatest theologians for as long as they have to be engaged, then I think you're not reading the same Bible as I am. So it's something of a misnomer simply to say this is the practical section. And yet, having said that, we have to admit that in these chapters, we have a portion of Scripture in which Paul takes the doctrine that he has established and he begins to apply it in a very detailed fashion to every area and every aspect of a Christian's life in this world. Now, here we come to a vital principle. You can put it in many ways. Christianity is not merely a matter of the mind. Now, underline the word merely, because Christianity is a matter of the mind. The very first thing the Holy Ghost does when he brings a person to life in Christ, when he, as our confession of faith puts it, effectually calls a person, the very first thing he does is to enlighten his understanding. That's why throughout the New Testament there is a constant emphasis upon thinking, upon reckoning, upon pondering. In other words, Christianity is never to be a shallow surface reaction to that which stimulates a momentary emotion. There is a depth of thought that the Bible demands. And when you stop to think of the great issues involved in the Christian revelation, you're bound to realize these are things that are worth thinking about. In fact, if I could cut to the chase here in Philippians chapter 4, when Paul gives you a list of things to think about, he says, think on these things. And every one of them has its fullest expression in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying, think through the gospel. So one way of putting this is to say that Christianity is a thinking religion, but it is not merely a matter of the intellect. In other words, we have never to come to the place of playing mind games with the gospel. I think that medieval theologians have often been caricatured by those who have never taken the trouble to try to grapple with some of the deep philosophical and theological matters that engage their brains. But I suppose they have left themselves open to it when they get to such areas as wondering how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. That is, at the same time. Now, I'm not sure that angels actually like to dance. And anybody that wanted to dance on the head of a pin would have to be less than an angel. But there is behind that folly, or that seeming folly, there was actually a lot of deep thought. But the problem with that sort of philosophizing is that it takes the gospel and it makes it a mind game. It's not to be that. I know people, and They could discuss with you the decrees of God, maybe not very intelligently, though they think they're very intelligent. They can argue about election and predestination and free will without having the slightest clue in the world how to define the term free will. But I'll let that one go too. They can get into all these things. They can come to prophecy. They will throw you out of the church if you don't dot their I's and cross their T's on Tim LaHaye's scheme of prophecy. And I always like what Dr. Allison said. I will quote him instead of myself. If you don't like it, slaughter him. When he was discussing this with a TV reporter who was asking questions on one of LaHaye's books, you know, about the rapture, his 50 million book series. And he literally, supposedly 50 million books sold, or is it 64 million now, something like that. Certainly weren't Meg Barrett's books or mine, I'll tell you that. But anyway, we'll not get into that one. And asking him why he didn't believe this, he said, because it's a lie. And he's been proved a false prophet again and again. It's never worked. Every theme and every theory he's ever developed has been wrong. But yet there are people, and they'll get so tied up in these matters of their prophetical scheme. And it's all a mind game. This is what Paul is arguing against here. There's a vital principle that the gospel we believe must govern how we live. And our actions, our attitudes, our relationships in this world, in every area of life. Here in chapter 12, he's dealing with the personal and church life of the believer. In chapter 13, he starts dealing with the believer as a citizen of an ungodly and heathen state. And the Christian, as he lives out his life in the world. In chapter 14, he starts dealing with how we are to relate to other Christians on matters that the Bible is not laying down a law upon, where we have different backgrounds and different things playing into our thinking. Should we do this or should we do that? And whether we do it or don't is going to be more affected by whether we're Jews or Gentiles or Presbyterians or Baptists or whatever than anything else. How do you deal with Christians in these areas of conscience and so on? In every area of life, in every relationship, what we believe about the gospel has to control us in every part. What we do must reflect what we believe. And that's why chapter 12 starts, "I beseech you, therefore." There is a therefore in the middle of the gospel message. This is true. I believe it. Therefore. In other words, you can never simply say, "This is true, I believe the gospel, I have walked the aisle, signed the card, got baptized, joined the church, and that's it." You can never do that. If you do that, you're denying the very heart of the gospel. I believe this, therefore, there is a consequence.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS.
That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.